I have just a few brief thoughts this evening that begins with the question, how do you come back from that? We read about David in 2 Samuel 11 and verse 14. Now in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he had written in the letter saying, place Uriah in the front line of the fiercest battle and withdraw from him so that he may be struck down and die. And so it was, as Joab kept watch on the city, that he put Uriah at a place where he knew that there were valiant men. And the men of the city went out and they fought against Joab. And some of the people among David's servants fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died. This was after David had conceived a child with Uriah's wife. How do you come back from that? And we read about Peter in Luke 22 and verse 59. After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter denied his Lord. How do you come back from that? We read about Paul in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and he asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Paul persecuted the Lord's church. How do you come back from that? God. God gave them the ability to come back from that. He was willing to forgive them. Now, they still had to conform to his way, but he would forgive them. Now, whether or not they were going to do that was completely up to them. And so it wasn't just a matter of how they would be able to come back from that, but if they would do so, if they would try to do so. This week, I decided that I was going to try to make dinner for Rebecca. And like any time that you try to do something special for anybody, things went wrong. And this dinner that I was working on seemed like it was destined to fail. I'll go ahead and let you in on a little one of my secrets of cooking, and that is cheese, and lots of it. You just add as much cheese as you can so that you don't really taste the cooking. But I did that with this dish that I was making for Rebecca, and I put some foil over the top of it so that it wouldn't burn in the oven. I sprayed the foil with cooking spray like they tell you to do, and I put it in the oven. And when I brought it out, I lifted up the foil, and to my dismay, all of my secret ingredient was coming along with it. I mean, it was all coming off on the foil. And it was all okay. All of it didn't come off, so we were okay at that point. But then a couple of other things started happening, and I really started thinking, is this dinner going to make it on the table? And then something that came the really scary moment. The dish is in the oven, and most oven racks, they have a little lip on the back, and it keeps, whenever you pull the rack, it keeps them from coming out. It also keeps the dish from sliding. But the rack that my dish was on didn't have that. It was just on rollers. It had no lip in the back. And so when I pulled the rack out, the dish did not come with it. And it kept sliding back until it just plunged into the bottom of the oven. And I was angry. And I was disappointed. Until I realized that it was all okay. And really it was. I looked down at the bottom of the oven and the things had sloshed a little bit, but it hadn't dumped out. I was able to wrestle it out of the oven, and you know what? The top looked ugly. It was missing some cheese from before. Some of the ingredients were slightly displaced. I knew it could have been better, but it wasn't ruined. And you know what? Even if it had fallen, I could have done something else. It still wouldn't have been ruined. I am a Christian. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and most of us here are that, and we realize that because of that we have different expectations about us, and we have answered the great calling of God, but the thing is that we still make mistakes. I still make a lot of mistakes, and we try to prevent them. We do all that we can to prevent them. We read and we study God's Word, and we pray, and we set our minds on the things above, and we desire to be all that He calls us to be, and that's far more effective than, you know, cooking spray can be. We're doing all the things that we know we need to be doing, and yet we still make mistakes. We say something that we shouldn't have said, or we do something that we shouldn't have done, and sometimes it opens up some big problems, and we feel like we're facing a really big setback, and you know, we just... Sometimes these things just happen, but of course it would be wrong for me to say that I'm not responsible, because I know that I am. James said in James 1 and verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when the lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. When I sin, it is on me. So the question is, how do I come back from that? And I struggle with that. I pray in the morning, but I can't take my mind off the mistake from yesterday. And I just ask, well, how is it that I can even begin today? What does it say in Lamentations 3 and verse 22? It says, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. Never. For His compassions never fail. Never. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him and to the person who seeks Him. God is how we come back. The Lord is good to the person that seeks Him. And that is His promise to us. John tells us more in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5. We read, this is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. God picked such a wonderful comparison for Himself. That really, it's not a comparison. It is the truth that God is light. And that's something that gives us comfort. God is light, He is goodness, He is mercy, He is forgiveness, and He is mercy every morning, even though I made that mistake yesterday. And this comparison helps me to understand why all is not lost, even when I feel like it is at times, or when I make a mistake. You know, if something is in a room that is filled with light, even if another thing is draped over it that puts it in darkness momentarily, if you remove that thing, there is no speck of darkness left on it at all. It is still light. It is only dark and remains to be dark if it remains to be covered, or if you take it out of the room completely. The sacrifice of Christ is not some tenuous, weak thread that barely keeps us connected to Him. His blood is far more precious than that. If we admit that we are wrong, if we confess that we are wrong, and if we get up and we return to the things that we are supposed to be doing, then He does cleanse us. What a blessing that is. Christ does not give up when we make mistakes. He is faithful. He is righteousness, and He is the pinnacle of it. We know that forgiveness and mercy is righteousness. That may be one of the things that we mess up on. I know that's one of the common things that I mess up on. Don't we think that Christ is able to do the things that He has taught us to do? He forgives. He is merciful. We may make a mess of things at times, and things look a little ugly, but things are not ruined. We can try again. You know, in a perfect world, we would never make mistakes. And in a perfect world, we would not face temptation. And in a perfect world, we would not have our shortcomings. But right now, we're not living in a perfect world. But we do have a perfect God. God is light, and He gave His Son for us. And so just like David, and just like Peter, and just like Paul, well, how do we come back? God is how we come back. Those men kept trying, and they tried harder, and they leaned harder on God. Really, they had to, because their life didn't get easier after this point. David still had upheaval with his sons to deal with. Paul and Peter, they faced persecutions, but even so, even though things got harder, they were able to do it. And so often, it's easy for me to say the opposite. I can't do it. I just can't, and I get easily frustrated, but we can. And the thing is, if we get upset about it, then the potential is there for us to be able to do it, because we care. It is if we didn't care that we would really be in trouble. But we know that we have the ability to do it. God tells us that we have the ability to do it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. The question is, if we'll keep going. If we will keep moving forward and relying more and more on God to make up for the things that we lack. Again, in James 1 and verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, then it brings forth death. Refuse to let it be accomplished. That's what we need to do. Because when we give up, that is when it will be that. But if we seek God, if we keep up the good fight, if we finish the race, if we claim the crown, then it will all be okay. because then we will be with him. And then it'll be a perfect world. So don't give up on that now. If you are not a Christian this evening, I pray that you see what a blessing it is to be in Christ. Forgiveness is such a wonderful thing. I have a lot that I need to be forgiven of. And I praise God every day that I'm forgiven of those things. But if you need tonight to begin that walk and to begin walking in his light and take on Christ as your Savior, if you need prayers of the congregation,